Rodeo Time, the podcast where we talk about all things rodeo, because I am rodeo. I'm Dale Brisby, greatest bull rider ever to walk the earth.
Oh, wow.
You're welcome. And we had a pretty interesting day yesterday.
Yeah.
Yep.
We did.
Old Donnie D, first time getting on a bucking horse.
Donnie Daytona got here in July.
Yep.
First. So, July 1st.
Yep.
So that
Isn't
means
that your birthday?
No.
July 4th.
July 4th.
About 8 months he's been here.
He's an American.
Yep.
He wanted to ride Bronx since he got here. I would not let him.
I'm thankful for that.
Getting on Bronx is a lot more dangerous when you're learning. When you're watching the NFR, it looks like the safest rough stock event of all four of them, if you include bullfighting. And it is at the NFR. But when you're in the practice pen, it's the most dangerous of all four, is it not? What do you think about it, Randy?
Yeah. I've just seen too many wrecks with beginners.
Yep.
And that's what just... I tried talking Donnie out of it.
He did. He said, they're so much higher off the ground. They're running so much faster.
Yep.
I don't know. Horses scare me, so I'm off
well,
on that event.
And on Donnie's point, those horses that don't buck are the worst because yeah. They're going fast and they're way up high.
Yeah.
And so when you slide off of them, what's your take on it as far as him learning? Like over the last 8 months, how have you felt about him getting on board?
I was nervous. Like yesterday, I'm not going to lie, I was really nervous before he got on. But once I saw him saddling the horse and when he was on that horse the first time, like how his face looked kind of at peace more than it was in the bull riding. Like I was like, yeah, he'll be all right. And especially after he popped up off the ground.
Yeah.
How excited he was. I was like, yeah, he's going to do good.
So
he's got this.
Would you agree, Leroy, it's way easier to level down in the bull riding than it is level down in the horse riding, as far as the animal is concerned? Like, there's much better beginner bulls than there are beginner horses. There's a lot more of them.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. But those horses he got on yesterday were perfect.
Right.
Like, yeah, but...
That second one kind of bucked.
Yeah. You'd have got on that at an AMI.
Because the first horse you got on a lot was ID.
Yep.
And the cool thing about him is he didn't buck that hard, but he would make a circle about as big as this room and come back to the bucking chutes. So if you were to buck off, if something were to go wrong, like, he ain't dragging you to the back 40.
And if you did get hung up to him, he wasn't taking off.
After a minute, he'd probably just stop.
Yeah.
When's the next time you're getting on a horse? I think last time I seen you on a horse was Rodeo Time 100, or getting close to Rodeo Time 200.
I think
you got to get on a bareback horse. That's what Casey Fields said yesterday.
Let's get on old Brisket and a bareback rigging.
I've been on some bareback horses, and it's not my favorite event.
It does not look fun. But you know who makes it look fun is Rocker.
Dude, yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah.
All them guys.
Makes everything look fun.
Rocker and Casey both, they're just stomping on them. Yeah. Like...
Yeah.
That place, their place is just unreal. That's like the coolest compound I've ever been at.
So just to give you guys a little bit of like leading up to. So Donnie's been wanting to get on Bronx forever. I've got two here at Radiator Ranch. They are both a little more than what talking about leveling up. These are like a little bit upper level. Like, you know, they're not going to the NFR. One of them has before, but you're not going to want to get on them for your first horse. And so that was the main reason I put Donnie on bulls. I wanted to see that he could at least try. And I wanted him, I thought maybe he might like riding bulls.
And it's made the videos interesting.
Yeah.
He did not like riding bulls. Yeah. He never really told anybody, but he was terrified. Were you terrified?
I thought you liked
it. I wasn't terrified. I definitely wasn't terrified, but I was like, bulls scare me.
Yeah.
But like when I was on them, I knew it was I had a clear enough head that I felt like I could do my job. Like I could.
Once you got on them,
it's almost like leading up to it. Like,
oh, absolutely. Like
your stomach gets in knots and you don't want to eat.
How many
JB's
do you think?
JB's hot shotting you.
Yeah.
And the bull.
Yeah.
How many do you think you got on?
I don't know.
25?
I'd say more than that, maybe.
30? 35?
I don't know.
We could go through the videos
and then
add 15 because that's about how many got on off video.
Yeah, I have no idea, honestly.
That's the thing the viewers may not understand, the viewers of Rodeo Time. Like, they're literally watching these guys learn.
Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. for the first time. Yeah. And like, it's a lot of people's first rides are not in the public eye.
Yeah.
So like anybody that's hard on them, they got to understand.
Also that. Though, anybody that's hard on them, they're not a citizen of Winnebago. They're just a tourist passing through.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's, and they hadn't been watching.
I'd like to see some of them come and just, it's a whole different ball game when you're yeah. sitting on one in the chute, you know?
Yeah,
whether they buck or not.
I love when people are like, oh, I'd spur that thing into the ground.
Yeah,
like,
come yeah. on. Right. Come yeah. on.
Yeah. yeah, sign some waivers because yeah. you probably won't. Yeah. So, needless to say, I pushed Donnie towards bull riding, away from bronc riding, because of the learning curve. I wanted to kind of evaluate him. And then once it came time where I was like, this dude ain't going to give up. He wants to ride broncs. We've been ponying on Boone for 3 weeks solid, like every day, unless it was like pouring rain, getting on the spur board, getting his saddle set up. It's like the day before. And so then I talked to a rocker, and they had this horse named Snyder, and he was like, everybody gets on this horse for their first ride, and even in the Bronx. And so I was like, perfect, let's put him on that first. And so we went to the Steiner XS Ranch. And Casey Fields was there.
Leighton Berry.
Three or four guys. Cole something got
Trey
on.
Trey Taylor
got on. Doug Champion. And then we bucked Donnie. And, yeah, it was pretty neat. But they were the perfect horses. And so that's what put us at the Steiner Ranch here in March. And it was the perfect first horse. So do you feel like having got on 35 head of bucking bulls set you up to at least have a clear frame of mind on a bucking horse?
Yeah, absolutely. If I had never been on any kind of bucking stock before,
you'd have blacked out.
Probably so.
Like in the rodeo sense, blackout.
Yeah.
Like you're still awake, but you just don't remember.
Yeah, absolutely.
Walk us through how the first ride felt.
First ride, I felt like before we even left, I had a pretty short rein, but then I knew it. Like, he took it. Like, I felt it slide through my fingers, and he set me up, and I was, like, going forward, and I was like, oh, dang, I better get back. So I ripped it back to the back and tried to set myself back up again, and he kind of started dog tracking and moving to the side,
mm-hmm.
and then it slid out from underneath me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Squirrely little things.
Yeah.
And then the second one.
The second one, I felt even more clear, and like I was fighting a lot harder, I felt like, and I lost a stirrup, and I was still trying to ride him without I didn't just check out because I lost a stirrup, I felt like. But
yeah, you impressed all those guys. Mm-hmm. Steiner family, the bareback riders, everybody was like really like jazz.
Yeah.
People don't do that good on their first saddle bronc rides. What do you think? How'd you think about it, Leroy?
I really thought he's like after the, especially the second one, after that horse popped him up and he lifted and set himself back down, I was like, yeah, he's got this.
He's going to be a bronc rider.
He's going to be not just a bronc rider. If he keeps doing what he's doing, he's going to be a great bronc rider.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for him.
Yeah. Something else that's interesting to learn is barefoot water skiing. And that was something I learned yesterday.
Yeah, you did surprise me, though. You got up, you were doing it, but then you decided to get out there with Rocker with just your underwear on. And
yeah, so we're behind the chutes. We're behind the chutes, and Rocker came over, and I was talking to Bobby, and Bobby was like, we were making eye contact, and so like I didn't want to like leave this conversation, but I heard him say something about barefoot. And before I knew it, 10 minutes later, we're all loading up in the feed buggy and we're headed down to the lake, which is 10 feet past the last fence.
Mm-hmm.
And the dock, boat, we're on the boat. Now all of a sudden, we're going out on the Brazos River. And they put a bar out in March. Rocker, Sid, and Bobby, 68 years old, all get out there individually.
Killing
not
it.
Together. Yeah, killing it on barefoot skiing. Just
sliding around on their back.
Ripping it.
40 miles one footer. An hour across the water.
Yeah, and you got to be going barefoot. Fast.
Yeah.
I am way too tenderfooted. Like, hey, come try this. No. As soon as my feet touch that water, I'm going to have the giggles like a little girl. And it's probably going to rip the skin off.
So then, And then this kid, I was like, man, this is either as easy as it looks to learn or just one of those deals like bronc riding that's harder to learn.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that looks easy, that's hard to learn, you know. And so they Rocker had a friend, Cole, whatever. Yeah. He jumps out there and has a hard time.
He's getting worked.
Yeah, he was getting worked over, and I was like, this must be really hard. Well, then John Franzen of Powder River Rodeo, big dude.
Not catty looking. Yeah.
Big dude, like powerful looking.
Yeah.
Took like 10 minutes to get his wetsuit on.
Took him longer to get his wetsuit on than it took him to learn how to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
So like he takes like 30 seconds and he's barefoot water skiing. And so I was like, I got to do it. Yeah. And so I got out there. It took me a little bit longer than John, but finally got up. And then Sid realized how tired I was getting and slowed the boat down after, I don't know, 45 seconds. Maybe.
Lost your hat.
Lost my hat. And so it was good. Then we're headed in to swap out people. And Rocker gets out there with no wetsuit on. And the way you get up on this, when you're barefoot water skiing and you're learning, you're like holding on this bar with both hands as if you're going to do a bench press, but like standing up. And then... No. You're kind of like you're on your back in the water and you're going so fast that you can be like on your butt and your butt's just skidding across the water and your feet are out in front of you. Kind of like you're riding a bike.
Yeah.
That'd be a better description. Like a low rider bike.
Yeah. Like ape choppers.
Yeah. Well, and that's how you get ready. Well, when you jump out there, you start out and your feet are hanging back behind you. And so you twist to get in that riding that bike position. Your feet are up and you're kind of skidding on your butt. It's fine in a wetsuit when you go to twist and you kind of like your waist. You
skid across the water.
Skid across the water and your butt skids across the water going 45 miles an hour. Well, so I didn't know that's a little different if you don't have the wetsuit on. So I'm out there in just my underwear. Like, it's like I'm a professional water skier at this point. And Rocker's out there and he's like throwing up the Dale Yeah sign and he's got an earring and he looks cool.
Yeah.
It's like, I want to look cool.
Rad.
Dale Brisbane, you know, greatest sport out of all time. So I get out there with him and I can't just jump in and be barefoot skiing like he is. So I do the twist, you know, and pull my waist around. And about the time one butt cheek gets up on the water level and then it like tilts over and the other butt cheek is about like that 45 mile an hour water coming in, like splits my butt cheeks.
Your old butt cheek cut a little.
It.
Yeah, I seen that.
Imagine
like,
water shooting up your butthole at 45 miles an hour. That's what happened.
Yeah, the look on your face.
Randy's slow mo. That happening.
Water shot up my butthole at 45 miles an hour.
You can see.
Cleaned
it
your system
your
out
like a bidet.
The wrong direction.
It's coming out your mouth.
It cleaned my system.
I'm surprised
in.
Your underwear stayed on.
Yeah, me too.
They didn't have a choice. They were up in it. It's like the worst wedgie. Like
suction cup.
Yeah.
So is everything okay down there?
I don't know. You might have to give me a ride back to see that Chinaman.
Yeah. I remember that day.
I had a surgery once. Chinese man performed surgery on me. Randy gave me a ride.
Heart to surgeon number one. Steady hand.
Steady hand.
Observance.
If I would have been over there, I'd have been like an astronaut. Is that what he said?
Or a cowboy.
He's quoting The Office. Anyway, yeah, Randy gave me a ride on the way home. I had to sit on the side of my hip. That's what that felt like. Yeah. Same day.
Oh, that's
same
why
feeling.
You were riding home like that. I was like, dude, you're sitting weird. You're kind of taking up a little too much
dude,
room.
Dude, it was painful. I shouldn't have got cocky. Shouldn't have gone out on the, yeah.
I think the best part about getting home was Donnie was like, something's wrong with my butt. And he gets up and he'd been sitting on your wet underwear the whole time.
It was gross.
What'd you think about the Steiner compound?
Dude, man, that puts the ranch I've built in my dreams to shame. Like, yeah. I couldn't have never imagined a place like this. It's like,
perfect.
Yeah,
perfect.
It's like setup. Neverland, dude. Like, this place was awesome.
It really was so awesome.
They got, like, bunkhouses with windows into the indoor arena. Like, it was so cool. Yeah. I don't know. I couldn't even have dreamed of something like that.
So
we've been to a lot of practice pens.
Yeah.
That was probably the coolest practice.
That was the coolest.
The energy, dude. Yeah. Everybody's getting everybody jacked up. Like, there was so much energy there.
Rodeo vibes only.
Oh, yeah, positive.
Mm-hmm. It's all them gold buckles.
Yeah. Rodeo vibes only. Yeah. That's our next.
I like that saying.
Yeah,
I
know. That's our next shirt. Rodeo time all the time. Rodeo vibes only.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, boy.
I like that.
I got to get a graphic designer on it. If any of y'all know of any out there, I got two main ones that I work with right now, and they're both tied up with like 8 designs each. So maybe Jesse. I might reach out to Jesse. I haven't used Jesse in a while. I'm going to get him on it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Shut
Who's
up.
Jesse?
He did some good stuff.
With Trust?
Oh.
Yeah. He's really good. Anyway, so yeah, you pull up to this arena, and right when you pull up and you got to drive through the alley because the arena's on your right, and
the
indoor arena's on your right, and then you go through this alley, and if you'd go left through the alley, like, it takes you down to where all the bucking horses are. So anyways, you pull around and then you park next to the arena, and on the side of the arena there's, it looked like 4 bunkhouses.
Yes. Some of them were like used as office spaces, I think. I don't know. I
looks like a really fancy hotel.
Yeah. As if the roof of the arena like went out away from it, and then like maybe there used to be a porch off to the side, but they turned them into bunkhouses.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like the roof of these bunkhouses are the same roof as the arena.
Where the concession stand would normally be on an indoor pin.
Yeah.
Or bunkhouses.
There you go.
And he's got some really good bareback riders living there.
Yeah.
Leighton Berry and his traveling partner, Colt. I don't know his last name.
I can't remember either. I feel bad. But he was funny. He was funny.
He rode good, too.
Yeah, he did.
They all did.
What I liked about it is just like, so, and they've got all those bucking horses.
55.
They got 55 bucking horses. And they'll send them out. They do different things with them. They used to have a rodeo company.
Mm-hmm.
But it just creates that atmosphere similar to, like, remember when Blue was here?
Yeah.
And JB?
Mm-hmm.
And McCabe came with Blue. And was that rodeo time, like 160 or something like that?
It was one of the first time. Like, it wasn't long after I got here.
But that rodeo vibe that was kind of going on behind the chutes, like, it just kind of, like, elevates your – it's the closest thing to simulating a rodeo.
Yeah.
But without the haste of the performance, like, you gotta go.
Yeah.
And everyone's feeding off of each other.
Yeah, yeah.
And everyone's giving advice. Rocker's over there just cutting up. That kid lives fully alive.
Yeah. Dude, that kid is freaking rad.
Yeah. I hope my son is like that.
His parents set him up for so much success when they named him Rocker.
Oh, yeah.
How can you not be like that with a name like that?
Yeah.
Like,
They all, like, march to the beat of their own drum.
Dude.
And they don't care what people think about
it. That's a rad family.
But
I'd even go to say they're pretty gnarly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Bobby Steiner, 1976 world champion bull rider. And then Sid Steiner. When did he win the world in steer wrestling?
I'm not sure. It was late 90s,
I think. Yeah.
But it was cool to watch him. I mean, he was definitely, he stood out in the crowd because cornrows.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and when he would get done, I mean, he would just be going nuts in the arena, just hyping everyone up, you know.
Yeah. A lot of energy.
I love that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. He owned it, and, like, he backed it up every step of the way.
I think it would be pretty easy for anybody to see that we respect people that are different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those, we're not going to throw rocks at those kind of people.
Those guys are awesome.
But that's
dude.
Cool. Like, but you can, it's come as you are.
Right.
And everyone's
exactly.
Just like, you got rocker and an earring. Like, you don't see that in the Western industry.
Right.
But he owns it. I think it's sweet.
No.
Yep.
And that's him.
He's honestly setting a trend.
If like, he didn't have it, then I would be like, dude, what? Like, yeah.
Why don't you have an earring?
And then, there was a guy out there yesterday. He started putting one in.
Yeah. Yeah, another guy. Yeah, same ear.
Yeah.
Same kind of earring.
Yeah, it's a feather.
Yeah.
like a metal feather.
But what I like about it, the whole atmosphere, and it was something I underestimated going into it. I'd never been there.
Mm-hmm.
I'd met the family before, but it was at rodeos. So we were going there for that specific horse, you know, just a beginner saddle bronc horse. But then we got there and I was like, oh, this is the rodeo vibe. And but the thing is like it didn't happen by accident. Bobby and Sid made it that way. Obviously, mm-hmm. Rocker doesn't need 55 horses, mm-hmm. you know, like no one, you know,
yeah,
five or six, maybe, you know, and that's what, but you got guys that want to come in and get on.
Oh, yeah.
There's a place to stay. And so it creates this little rodeo world.
Dude, man.
And it's going to make him, because I think that practice pen is just, it's so important for beginners.
Mm-hmm.
Because you just spend yourself to the poorhouse yep. going to rodeos. You got one shot. You're hustled. You don't know what you're going to get on if you're going to AMI's starting right. off. You're paying, you know, you don't have time for somebody to teach you. And yeah. so you got to go to the practice pen. Got to get on bulls. Got to get on Bronx.
Especially when you go to a practice pen like that.
Yeah, you're set up to win. You're
just surrounded by positivity and people that want to see you do well. You don't even know them. Mm-hmm. Like the first time you ever met them, and they yeah. want you to do so yeah. dang good that it makes you want to try even harder and be that much better.
Yeah. And you got guys out there that have been down the road. I mean, you got world champions. You got Casey Field. You got Tilden. You got Mason. I mean, guys that have literally lived the yeah. life. You know, and if I was a bareback rider, I would be scratching to get there. No, I would... Yeah. Even if I didn't know that family, I'd weasel my way in and get to know them, because if you want to win, go to Steiner's.
Let me pick pins for free.
Yeah, I would do whatever it took.
Yeah.
I would, you know.
I'll paint the pipe fencing.
Yeah.
Whatever you need.
Let me come work free for 90 days. Do whatever you want.
Yep.
To get on bucking horses yeah. when y'all buck.
Yeah.
Even just to be around that. Like, even if, like, I don't ride bulls anymore. And just being there, I could be there every day just because it helps you just to carry yourself throughout the day. Like today, I feel so much better than I did yesterday yeah. before I even went there. But yeah. like it's going to go a long ways for anyone to be out there just as like it's so genuine when you see like just watching Bobby talk to Donnie. Like he didn't know Donnie from
Adam,
but
right.
he gave him the time and the knowledge that he has yeah. experienced just and
priceless.
He cared. He cares about everyone that's going in there.
Yeah.
And he's right there. He's got neck ropes. He's pulling latches. And
yeah, that's why I ran the de-rigging shoot and was cleaning up trash.
Yeah.
Because like immediately, like we were there for 20 minutes and I felt like the value exchange was like, I was like, oh my gosh, this is too much. Like yeah. I got to do something to yeah. help because they're, you know, but those are, and I think, comparing that to like some of the days that we got on like Rickle and John in the practice pen where it was just me, you and Wes, or one day it was just me and you, you mm-hmm. know, like those days are important.
Yeah.
You know, because you got to get on, you got to get the reps in. Yeah. And sometimes there's not 18 people around.
Yeah.
You know?
The tide's just a little bit lower.
And I'm sure it's like that sometimes at their practice pen.
Oh, yeah.
When there's not for a sure. lot of people around and it's just, there's, you know, just Rocker and Sid and Bobby and maybe one or two guys opening yeah. gates and it's just a little quieter, whatever. But golly, and you haven't experienced this yet, Donnie, but when you do, it'll just, and that's what's so exciting to me. You are so hooked right now and you haven't even experienced the thrill of going to two or three rodeos yeah. in a weekend.
Yeah.
Like
that's when it really gets fun.
That's when like that hook gets in and grabs mm-hmm. a hold of you and then you just can't let it yeah. go.
They call it the itch.
Exactly.
Like it's just, yeah. you can't get rid of it.
And then you find yourself spending all your money.
Yeah.
Telling all your girlfriends to
all I
want to
do
rocks.
Is rodeo. All I want to do is rodeo.
Unless she's paying your fees, you yeah. keep her around. And then like your family just doesn't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody understands it.
And that's okay.
Unless they've lived it.
Yeah. And then you maybe have that one uncle
yeah.
that used to ride, and he's just like, yep. It's like, no, it's so crazy how people don't understand
yeah. it. It's bigger than rodeo, man. Like, it's what it does for, like, what it did for me personally. Like, I mean, it's just, you can't even explain it. Like, I wouldn't trade anything for, I don't know, it's just the best lifestyle, I think. Just, you got mm-hmm. the best people. And it's the best life, no matter what.
Yeah,
I truly believe that.
The people you meet, it the people and the journey is what makes it worth it.
Mm-hmm.
It makes it so much fun.
I love that moment. Like, you get there. I don't party a lot.
What?
People in Vegas, like, they come up, like, I don't know how many free drinks people have bought me that have gone, just been poured out, just because, like, I just don't party. Yeah. I don't, you know. But when I get to the rodeo and you get your riding jeans on, you get your gear laid out, and then I step up on the chutes and they're loading bareback horses, you help, like, that moment, they're, like, playing the national anthem and you're just kind of hanging out, you're stretching, you're getting stuff, you know. You don't have the haste yet of, like, they're running your bull in, running your horse in, whatever. Like, you're just kind of hanging out. You can smell. They just drug the arena, that fresh dirt. Ooh, that moment right there.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
That's rodeo.
Rodeo time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was your favorite rodeo so far? Like, what's been, like, a standout rodeo that you can go back to all the time?
I love Goliad. I like Los Fresnos, already happened. Mm-hmm. But I like those two rodeos, matinee perfs. I like Mandan, North Dakota. Chad Berger puts it on now. Longview in April.
Dang, just going with Texas.
Mandan's in North Dakota. I know
you had one, but you're going, three.
That's because they're happening right now. Oh. Los Fresnos, February. Goliad, March. And then.
What about of all time? Your all time favorite rodeo?
I mean, one certain performance was Apache in a few years back. Last performance of the next day the season ended, and snuck me into the circuit finals just because I had to win that rodeo. That was probably just the coolest moment.
Went 90?
Ish.
Man, I think the coolest first time rodeo, not a major, not a big, like Cheyenne or anything like that, but the coolest place to go for your, you know, first time, first July trip or June July trip, you know, Clear Lake, South Dakota.
That's pretty cool.
That is the neatest. You pull up and it just looks like a hay field. Yeah. And then you come over this little hill and it's just hundreds and, like, probably thousands of tents. And
yeah,
when we were there, it looked like thousands. I don't know how many it was. And you're pulling through and drunk people are just like, it's the Cowboys. You get down to the arena and it's an old, pond that somebody drained and turned into an arena. There's no stands. People just sit on the side with their blankets and stuff. Yeah. Dale rode his bull, jumps over the fence and sits on a blanket with a chick, and the dude that's with him cracks a beer and hands it to Dale. Sits there and watches the rest of the bull ride.
What's up with everyone just handing you beers all the time?
I know it. Yeah.
Because that just happened to me.
Must just have that face.
Yeah.
That guy likes
get this guy a beer face. I thought you'd been to Clear Lake.
Never been there.
I've never covered a horse there, but it was fun. It's by far the coolest place that I've first time getting there.
What's your favorite rodeo, Randy?
I don't know. I always liked Salinas.
Yeah.
I like California. But my favorite bull riding was, I don't know. I like them all. But
yeah. Big or small.
Salinas is fun. I like Salinas just because
the
atmosphere there is pretty cool. There.
But I love their bumper sticker.
And they always say rodeo. They don't say rodeo.
Really?
Yeah, it's kind of weird to me, but
it's a California thing.
Yeah.
What about a plan for Donnie? So I think his first rodeo has to be during the deal, when we do the deal.
Do the deal.
But, like,
coming soon.
What's the deal?
What do you think? Like, Brownwood?
I'm thinking Brownwood.
That would be a really good one. Brownwood would be, I mean, it'd be
James Andrews.
Yeah. I think that'd good be horses. Perfect. They're solid.
Yeah. He's not going to bring.
Yeah, you're not going to get on.
Man killers.
Yeah.
But, so what about Brownwood being Wes's first rodeo in the bull riding?
Well, I don't know.
The bull to horse kind of deal, like, His okay bulls are, they're bucking bulls.
Yeah, like that. Yeah. I was looking at some old footage from when we went to Brownwood, and there was a white bull, and that bull came from Cord McCoy. I recognized him, and he bucked.
He bucked.
Hard.
Hard.
Might need to go to just a CPRA.
I love Wes, but I wouldn't want to put him on that just yet.
Well, I think James, too, may have. I mean, like, it's some nights they ain't got a bunch.
Yeah.
And if James has a night where he thinks he might have to bring a B-pin, something, you know. Same thing in the horse riding. Like, it's not a lot of entries in Brownwood, but.
I mean, don't you get a little pull? Can't you just call and be like, hey, man.
A little pull?
For you to little pull anything.
I could get him to resurrect Bodacious and bring him back if I wanted to.
Yeah, right. Would you get on Bodacious if they resurrected him?
They didn't want me to get on him. I got on his half-brother, Dobacious.
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 What was he like?
Well, the judges, they didn't. So, they were going to mark me. Mm. And a streaker ran through the arena. And
I remember that.
Yeah.
Was that on ESPN De Ocho?
Yeah,
that
De
was
Ocho.
On. No, but you know it's different at a rodeo. Not everybody freaks out. You know, I don't know if like everybody just kind of watched him. He's kind of
nobody chased him down.
Yeah, nobody chased him down. You know, pickup men didn't want to rope, but you know,
nobody wants to grab a naked man.
Nobody wants to grab a naked man. Yeah,
that's I only fight naked because nobody wants to fight a naked guy.
Yeah. Were you the streaker?
I don't know.
I don't remember it being a short redheaded guy. For anybody listening to this podcast that's not watching, Donnie is extremely short and he's redheaded.
What is your problem? What is your problem?
We had to find, so between Leroy and I, we've got like five Bronc saddles, and like we had to like find our smallest one, cut it in half, rebuild it, and then it kind of fit. It was almost small enough. So we're gonna find something. Yeah, I was running Trey Taylor's neck rope yesterday, and I was nervous.
That dude's shorter than I am.
Almost.
Way shorter.
He's not that short. He's not that short. And so I was like, you know, I want to get that neck rope out of the way whenever that horse turns. You don't want to grab, you know, grind it down their leg, that, you know, and then that horse turned, and I remembered, oh, yeah. He's got legs shorter than a baby's arm. So, of course, there's no harm, no foul there. I can just let the neck rope go.
He rode good, though.
Yeah, he rode really good. Yeah. Good job, Trey. So, anyway.
What else?
It's rodeo time. I feel good. I'm excited. I'm going to let Donnie get on Brisket. I think that might be his third horse. What do you think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I feel like so we bucked.
I think we all think
the Baptist for that Western Horseman video with like no flank. We made it to where the flank wouldn't come off, and then we just turned him off, and he went whoop, whoop, whoop.
Last time I got,
I think that's what we should do. No, we didn't. I pulled the flank. I was the one flanking that horse last time you got on him.
I don't remember much about it. So I hawked. You might be right.
You went.
Is there a video?
You went a loose saddle. I don't know. You went a loose saddle.
I thought it was everything loose.
No. The flank was a normal flank. And so anyways, so we have the Baptist came from a Pete Carr, has been to the Niffer, had the sale barn tags on his butt, the Niffer sale barn. If you look him up on stock stats, it's like 77, 76, 75, 78, 77, like not very many people buck off, and a lot of people make 20-point bronc rides on an 18-point trip. Hopper. Looks like a hopper on paper. Then you go down, it's like 77, 76, 78, 77. 84 is Jacobs. And so I called Jacobs, and I was like, hey, I'm going to do some trading for this horse. He's like, oh, yeah, yeah. When you get him, like, you got to pull a loose saddle. Horse does not like a real tight saddle. Mm. So I get him here. And that's why his trip was a lot better with Jacobs. Also, Jacobs is a outstanding bronc rider. So we get him here. I buck him
like six or seven times,
and just quick, around to the left. Completely forgot about what Jacobs said. Just hops, you know, has that 76-point trip. Leroy's like, I want to crack out. I want to crack back out.
coming off an injury, just feeling good.
I was like, okay, we're going to get you on the Baptist. Right as he's saddling him, I remember that conversation with Jacobs. Hey, whoa, yeah, we got to pull a loose saddle. Leroy pulls a loose saddle.
First horse in a year.
First horse in a long time, maybe more than a year. This joker jumps out there because he normally just like decent first kick, but circles to the left. Like he did. He normally, you know, like he did.
Yeah.
But then Leroy pulls a loose saddle and he jumps out there and kicks the lights out.
This horse like takes a double av. So, I mean, when you nod, my hand is above my head with the rein ready for him to take it, go to it. It stays up.
Yeah,
there.
He doesn't take it. He jumps in the air and knocks the lights out and then makes a not quite a 90, but almost a 90 degree turn to the left.
Midair.
Leaves Leroy to the right, dumps him on his head. I was like, I'm so sorry.
Which I nodded my head. And I'll be honest, like first horse back, I had the jitters. I didn't honestly put enough fight into the ride like I should have. My head wasn't where it needed to be. And it dang sure wasn't after that. But.
Yeah.
Where'd you guys buck him at the indoor?
That was in Graham. It was before we got the WW pin.
Yeah, I went to get on my second horse, and then I saw Tweety Bird land on my saddle, and I was like, I don't think I should get on right now.
Yeah. Well, then, so right after you get done, we buck
Brisket.
Brisket. Garrett Kelly Johnson got on Brisket, and then Brisket just down the pin. And Leroy looks at me like this, and I was like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
It was all good, though. I'm excited. I want to get on Brisket.
Did you ever get on a bull? Were you overmatched? You got on Pearl Harbor.
Yeah, well, he was young.
Still, though.
You know, when I got on him was the – you might have to blur this out, but this is when I watched your first video. You don't have to blur that out.
Yeah, why would I have to blur
that out? I don't know why. I don't know why. But, yeah, I was on my way to Duncan, Oklahoma, and I remember watching your video, and then when I got there, like, that's when I got on him. But you know what bull that freaking got me good is Shepherd Hills Tested. And I got on him in Decatur in the short round at J.W. Hart's bull riding. And I remember, I set myself up for failure already when we did the draw. We had to go in the shark cage or whatever. And I pulled it out, said Shepherd Hills Tested. And I just seen J.W.'s face. Was like, and I was like, what?
So you didn't know the bull?
Oh, I knew the bull. But I didn't, like, I was just like, yeah. Like,
yeah.
And I had just seen J.B. get knocked out on him. And all I can remember is nodding my head, really, and don't really know what happened.
Yeah.
He bucked, but he really scooted out of there, and he's big.
Right.
And, but he was way overmatched.
Did you know JB well at the time?
Yeah.
What year was that?
It was like 2010 or 11.
Okay.
I think. I met JB in 2007.
Gotcha. What was the bull? Was it Memphis something? Super big bull.
Mississippi Hippie?
Mississippi Hippie.
Mississippi Hippie.
Yeah, and that was, I mean, I was kind of glad that I was able to get on him, but I shouldn't have got on him in the short run. So we were in Cleveland, Ohio at the Velocity bull riding.
Yeah.
And it was time for short round, and they were drawing, and Brant Atwood decided that, I think he got hurt or something, so he turned out. And I had a really cool bull of Burgers, I think. Just a cool spot that spun it up really cool. And I was pumped. And Brant had Mississippi Hippie. And Brant turned out, so they had to redo the draw. And I ended up with Mississippi Hippie. But what's funny is when I got there early that day, and I seen him in the back pins, and I took a picture of him, and I sent it to Ty, and I was like, look what I got. He was like, no way, you don't have him. And I didn't have him at the time, but pretty much just spoke it into existence and ended up getting on him. But this joker was huge. Like, I had to take my knot completely out of my bull rope.
What do you think he weighed?
He had to have been like 22 really? At least.
And so the black bull,
Shepherd Hills Tested.
No. The black bull the other day that JB brought weighed 1370.
Yeah.
Captain Hook weighed, I think, 1900. So he was bigger. Yeah.
And
so this was 2200.
He wasn't too nice in the shoot either. Like, he was Dang. When I got on him, he like had a hair trigger. You'd just put your knees on him, and he would just buck in there, go crazy. And I just remember, I think Austin Meyer was helping me get on, or Matt Bohan, one of them. And my leg is like just shaking, just going up and down, and
right.
I couldn't. You couldn't even stick your feet down because he was so wide. So your feet are just up on the slats, and my hands right here, and like his back is like this, and I'm just like, and I'm shaking, but I'm just like, all right, here we go. And I'm just like, all right, let's go. And he just kind of hopped and skipped like he did and went left, and I checked out, you know, when in doubt, check out.
So, oh, yeah.
But he wasn't as bad as I made him out to be. I wish I just kind of sacked up and rode him, because once I think he got past that, I seen Casey Hayes ride him a while back, like right after I think I got on him, and he just looked sweet, but... I mean, that he's huge, and that just that hop and skip. Like, you can't, when you leave that box, you got to be all there. You can't make one little mistake, then you're out. So, but good experience, no good in the score.
Donnie, listening to JB and Randy talk about, like, living the bull rider life, and you've spent some time on the road with JB, heard a few of his stories about what it's like. Do you feel confident that you'll be able to stay focused if you really are able to hit the trail hard as a bronc rider?
Yeah. Well,
that's exactly what I said.
If I was 18 or so, probably not.
Yeah, that's true.
But I went to college, you know, I lived that kind of life. Yeah. Maybe not to that extent, especially not JB's extent at all.
Well, that's not
thank
true.
God there was no Snapchat or Instagram or Facebook back then.
I feel like the world is different now. Even people really think about what they're doing now compared to what they were doing back then.
I don't know, man. Like, there's still everywhere.
That's what I mean. Like, people aren't just liable to do just the crazy stuff they did back then, because everybody's filming you.
I think there's still people.
Absolutely.
So, like, I mean, just Pretty Prairie, Kansas, out in the middle of nowhere. It's like 600 people live there. But when those, like, the little town comes together, you get 7-8 little campers out, and then all of a sudden it's like, I don't know. I'm just thinking about you. Like, it's not going to be to the level.
What do you think?
I before you reminded me that you've already been to college and you're not 18.
Yeah.
Then I was thinking, like, Donnie may not be able to stay focused.
I mean, I might. I don't know.
But you're pretty passionate about the sport. Like, you're on your own. Mm-hmm. You're responsible. Like, you're a good worker here. Like, I feel like.
Thank you. You this might be the nicest thing you've ever said.
I think
to
it's
me.
All right. It's still good. Like, you can have a good time still. Like, I mean, you might be able to still go a little bit overboard, but I think there's just that you got to go back to that spot where you just take care of your business and your priorities.
Priorities.
And
you got to know why you're out there.
But man, it's so easy to get off the train tracks.
I can respect that. But I don't know. We'll see.
I don't see Donnie straying too far. I mean, like, JB's here. It's Friday. We don't have anything to do the next day. We get done bucking, and we're sitting on the back, you know, drinking a few beers. Donnie's only going to have one or two. You try to hand him the third, he's going to be like, nah, I'm good.
Yeah, good. And you worked in a bar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, man, like, I did all that stuff.
I've been there, done that.
And it sucks not feeling good the next day and not being able to, like, it really, really... I still like to drink a beer here and there, but man, it's like it really affected how I was able to perform with anything. Like,
yeah,
it really clouded my mind.
I can see that. I mean, I can see that you're going to be able to stay focused. Do you feel like ponying for all that time helped you?
Yeah, like just feeling your saddle.
Give you another layer of confidence, like crawling in the chute?
Maybe, but I don't know. I just had like I had a lot more confidence on that horse than I did on my last bull.
Right.
I don't know.
What was the last bull you got on that black bull, the downhorn?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What do you feel like should be the plan of action for your next bronc? Like, what do you want to do?
Stay back and lift.
I'm saying you want to get on one today, or you want to, like...
This weekend, if not today. Yeah. I don't, maybe not today. This weekend, for sure.
Yeah.
Is your butt hurt?
No.
No.
Dude, he's got a badonkadonk.
I bet it don't hurt as bad as mine. Did you have 45-mile-an-hour water shot up your butthole? No? Then don't talk
cold water.
Don't talk
cold
to me.
Cold water. Yeah, cold. Brazos River
water. I'd rather it be cold water than hot water, I think.
at least that Chinese doctor warmed it up.
Oh, you like it warm?
I've never been to one of them places.
He was a gentleman. No. I don't know. Ouch.
Well, I should probably go edit, because I'm leaving for a week. I'm leaving you boys for a whole week.
What? Yep. Yeah, he's going on vacation.
Aspen.
Where the beer flows like wine. I'm talking about a place called... No, 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 Lloyd.
So, have you ever been to Aspen?
Yeah. I went there on spring break with some guys from seminary. And I wasn't in seminary. I just had some friends there. And I was the outlaw. And that
sounds like a rager.
Yeah, it was... It the only thing I didn't like about that trip, I loved Aspen. We were snowboarding in t-shirts. Mm-hmm. Is like it was one of those trips where they had an itinerary.
Yeah.
And I freaking hate that. Even down to the directions. Like we leave College Station and we're going through Waco up. Yeah. And
it's pronounced Waco.
Oh, excuse me. I'm like 23 at the time. Like I've driven that road because of where I lived and where we were. Like I had been through Waco. Maybe 100 times. Not from there, but I just happened to... That was like on a common route for me, rodeoing, going home, whatever. Yeah. And they had this little map planned. He had printed off, like it was... And like we... Every car had like printed off sheet of maps.
That's silly.
It was like exit in Waco. And like... So this whole caravan exits in Waco. I was like, guys, we don't exit. I'm trying to tell y'all, we don't exit. So I just went ahead and drove through Waco and waited on the other side. An hour later, they're like S-ing through. And that was indicative of the whole trip. Like, it was just, like, itineraries the whole way. Like,
wait till you get married, man. Wait till you finally get latched down because, okay, so you probably agree with this.
I'm just
rodeoing. You don't worry. Yeah, you don't worry about a hotel. When you get to the place that you're in, you're going to find one, right?
Yeah.
No, not when you're married. You got to find one 4 months before you even go to the spot. You got to make sure it's got continental breakfast. You got to make... I don't care about that.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm not even going to worry about that.
I'm so random. Last time I did some spur of the moment, they marked me 90. Like, spontaneity is my middle name, right next to danger. Yeah.
That's my middle name.
Right it next is one to of those, it, going back to like taking a girl with me to a rodeo who's never been to one, and we went to Fort Worth, and didn't have a plan. She's like, "Where are we staying tonight?" I said, "I don't know. Just rodeoing. Let's figure it out.
The car.
Yeah. So either stay at the car.
Or might drive home at 2 a.m. Yeah. You know, like, be ready.
Might find some friends that have a place that we can crash on a couch.
I may find a chick, and then you're on your own.
We ended up going with Sterling and staying on the couch of one of his friends.
Yeah, even more random.
Oh, yeah. And she did not enjoy it at all. She only went to a couple more rodeos with me after that.
Yeah.
See ya. Bye.
See ya. Bye. Yeah, that's but for some reason in business, you guys get mad at me for doing the same thing. What are we filming today? I don't know. We'll figure it out. Who's shooting it? I don't know. We'll figure it out.
We drive halfway do we across need, the country.
Do we need batteries? I don't know. Figure it out. Okay, at least remember this conversation next time you find yourselves with me and you're like, he doesn't have a plan. Oh, yeah. Okay. He's a rodeo cowboy. Just a little slack. Even the podcast room. Can we talk about this?
We are upgrading. It's
I put some pictures up for you.
Still looks like a chicken coop, but it's all right.
Chicken wire. Hey, started from the bottom. All right.
Now we're here. What do you want?
Let's put a white background up. That'll look good.
Do you want cedar walls or oak?
Yeah, what you want?
I don't know. Board?
We need to just start doing these in the editing room.
Oh, yeah, we were going to move that in there. We should have done this one in there. This is number 15. Podcast number 16 is going to be in a new location, you guys. Thanks for joining us this episode.
before you cut off, I think eventually we need to take the podcast on a road and be in a Winnebago.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
We just...
It's, in a Winnebago, yeah. Rick-a-dooby-dooby-doo.
What are you, a Beach Boy?
Oh, it's that song. I don't like it, though. It says GD. I don't like stuff that says
Good day?
GD. No. The,
yeah,
the,
I don't
the
either.
Other direction.
I don't... I've never been a fan of that and LOL. I can't stand LOL. I'm sorry. Are you really laughing out loud? You're probably not. You probably just went...
Breathe hard through your nose.
Yeah, I don't like that.
You probably giggle whispered.
I have the habit of going ha 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 ha, but I think that's better than LOL.
Yeah,
I've never used LOL.
Okay, I'll stop using it.
Yeah, thank you.
But I don't use GD.
No.
I would rather somebody say the F word than GD.
Yeah.
Why is that funny to you?
Frank!
I almost just wanted to rip out. The F word right there.
No, I mean, I'd rather not somebody not cuss at all. But yeah. I mean,
we need alternative words. You know, we know a guy here, and one of his alternative words is, oh, hot chocolate. I think that's pretty neat.
Yeah.
You know, just, you
who
know,
says that?
Yeah, who do we know that says that?
Lisa's dad. Oh, remember when we were playing the volleyball game?
Johnny
and we lost? Yeah, we lost the volleyball game. And he was like, oh, hot chocolate.
Yeah. If we could
like, what
all,
was that?
If we could all be like Charlie Pizan.
That guy's.
Be. Yeah.
Pick, that guy's
pick,
bad.
Pick one of the Steiners or Charlie Pizan. One of the Steiners or Charlie Pizan. All right. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for watching, listening this episode of the Rodeo Time Podcast with Dale Brisby, Leroy Gibbons, Randy Q, Kateri, Donnie Daytona, spurred his first bronc. We're on to the next one. Pow, pow.
Peace.
R-O-D-E-O-T-I-M-E.
Rodeo vibes only, people. Rodeo vibes only.
You bet.